The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, everybody? Happy Friday. Junkies back with you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 in the DMV. We appreciate you listening to us on 910 The Fan or 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app. You can take us on the go with that Odyssey app. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies, looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber. Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. We thank you for tuning in this Friday morning, December 6th, 2024. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle.
Morning.
Morning. Johnny Cakes Allville's here.
What's up? Hello.
And Jason Bishop.
What up? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. As always, if you want to get in touch with us throughout the show, you can hit us up on the MGM National Harbor listener lines at 800-636-1067. Same number for the Thompson Creek Windows text machine. Standard message and data charges may apply. You can hit us up on X at Junks Radio. Had a Thursday night football game last night. Dan Campbell likes to go for it on fourth down.
He's a big fan of that.
Went for it five times on fourth down. I think they had a touchdown earlier in the game on a pass from Jared Goff to Jahmyr Gibbs on a fourth down. And then end of the game, could have kicked the game-winning field goal with roughly 40 seconds left.
How long was that? How long would that
would have been about a 40-yarder.
Yeah. Decided to go for it.
Milk the clock. That's what they did.
It's crazy.
Hit a field goal. They win it.
How many coaches would pass up a 40-yard field goal with 40 under a minute left to go for it?
Probably less than a handful.
Well, the difference is, I think he kind of alluded to it in his comments, was that, you know, kind of where they are in the season, they could kind of do that. You know what I mean?
He's got that luxury.
He
actually has wiggle room.
Yeah.
They could make sense.
Just be aggressive.
I mean, you don't want to drop a game, especially to a division rival, but he can afford to do it.
Yep.
Well, he probably knows that he's got so many guys hurt on his defense, too.
Yeah.
He didn't want to end up giving the ball back to Love. Although, if he doesn't get it, he's giving back the Love right there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's ballsy. And he went for it on his own 31 earlier in the game.
Yeah, he doesn't care. He doesn't care where
he coaches
is
on the
field.
Edge, man.
Yeah.
He does. He coaches on the edge. But that was I only saw a little bit of the first half.
Yeah, I missed on him when I saw that big meathead, his first initial
press
conference.
You weren't the only one. I'll defend you a little bit. A lot of people thought that he looked like a big buffoon, and now he's like everyone's hero.
He's a darling.
I mean, I saw over the weekend somebody was tweeting just like a 2 or 3 minute video montage. It was FanDuel, actually. A video montage of Dan Campbell as a player. Right. And they're like, he was a beast as a player, too. And I mean, obviously, I think we all remember him as a player, but, you know, it was wild.
He was more a role player, though.
More of a role player, for sure.
He wasn't a star by any means.
But I mean, the legend grows.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the Lions got the ball back with a little over 3 minutes left in the game, drove the ball down the field, then had that fourth and one at the Green Bay 21. So it would have been a 21, usually add 7, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it would have been a 38-yarder, if my math is correct. But they go for it. 43 seconds left.
Whoa. No, no, where it would have been 17. You had 17. Are you saying they were at the 31-yard line?
21. Yeah. I did add 17.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay. Yeah. I thought you said 31.
No, 21. So it would have been a 37-yarder. They used the clock.
Then 38-yarder, maybe.
They end up kicking from the 17. It wasn't even that much of a difference, except it was a walk-off.
Right. Well, yeah, burn clock. Yeah. That was the whole thing.
So Lions improved to 12-1, and they kind of need to be there. If they want to have the bye week, the Eagles are breathing down their neck.
Mm-hmm.
And the Eagles have a soft schedule when you look at what they have ahead of them. You
can Carolina see this weekend.
You can easily see the Eagles running the table. Goff had an interception in the game, but he ends up throwing for three touchdowns. He's up to 25 touchdowns with 10 picks on the year. Man, he completely resurrected his career in Detroit.
Oh, yeah.
People were bailing on him when he was traded.
He's an MVP candidate.
He was almost viewed as like the throw-in player in the Matt Stafford deal.
I still have a hard time readjusting my priors on it. But, you know, good for him. Good on him. By the way, everybody was tweeting me yesterday, Bieniemy got fired. I'm not going to just stomp on him while he got fired, okay? I am a human. Don't like to see people lose their jobs. So, I mean, everybody, my timeline was
exploding.
Oh, my God. So many pictures of Bieniemy.
His agent tried to say that it was just going to be a one-year deal in UCLA.
Right. Worst spin ever.
Yeah, right. Seems like he's accumulating one-year deals at this point since leaving Kansas City.
I mean, if they went nine and three, you know, and they were scoring 35 a game, it wasn't going to be a 1 year deal.
Of course,
he would have been retained.
Hey, there's a possibility he's not very good at his job. I mean, you have to accept that could be part of the reason he's lasting.
No.
1 year in these stints.
I already determined that. It's not a possibility.
But I know that a lot of people are like, "Oh, he should have been a head coach years ago." I don't know what they're talking about. Maybe he shouldn't have been.
They don't know what they're talking about.
Maybe there's a reason he wasn't a head coach in the NFL.
Most head coaches don't just invite their coaches to leave and beg them to leave.
Right.
They had some issues to start the year. They started out 1-5. They had to use three different quarterbacks. They ended up using one of their freshman quarterbacks, who's kind of a dual threat kid. But they used three different quarterbacks.
They were scrambling, huh? Try to figure it out.
Yeah, or maybe two different quarterbacks. But
hey,
yeah.
They got a win for me at the end of the season.
But they were much better. They were much better in the last 5 weeks than they were in the first 5 or 6.
Used them in Survivor. They got a dub for me. Ultimately, didn't matter as that guy T. Rich won $4,500 or whatever he won.
Trich. Yeah.
By the way, someone Venmo'd me money this morning for breakfast.
Very good. So, for you or for the collective?
For the guys. For the guys.
Oh,
for
very
everyone.
Nice.
So,
well, we might have to hold on to it until next week because I just got a text message from our in-studio auction winner today.
Okay.
He said he's bringing breakfast.
We have another auction person?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's that time of the year.
Hey, please. Okay. Do we know what's being provided or it's just a grab bag?
Yeah, we do.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Bethesda bagel sandwiches.
love it.
Nothing wrong with that.
Best news of the day.
By the way, did you see the pregame with Matt LaFleur going after that Detroit line fan?
I read about it. I didn't actually see it.
You know, the pregame, there was a bunch of Lions fans out there. I don't know if they were carrying a flag or I can't remember.
Yeah, they were like unfurling the flag for the national anthem.
Yeah. And I guess one of those fans was talking smack to the Packers bench.
Sure.
And LaFleur came out on the field and said, "Shut the F up," like multiple times.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've determined.
And then there was a couple of players who got involved. I mean, there was no pushing or shoving or punches thrown. But
I've gotten to the point where I should be on the Mount Rushmore of sitting down and watching the game and watching none of the pregame nonsensory. Like I sit down and the Amazon Prime, you know, like montage is running.
Yeah.
And then boom, they're right at Ford Field for the kickoff.
Right.
It's Al Michaels and is it Herb Street doing the game with him?
Yes.
Yeah, there's none of the panel of 8 jokers on the field that I'm watching with all the pre-done packages. I'm just there for the game.
Yeah.
Perfect timing.
Well,
by the way, speaking of
I had to watch it because I couldn't watch the Wizards game.
Right, well, it's bad. Now, speaking of Detroit fans being unruly, did you see the video of it went viral of a fan that was in like one of those tunnels? You know, like a lot of teams have now tunnels where the players walk in and in and out of the stadium or the arena. So I guess the Pistons were coming off the floor after, I'm sure, another loss. And a Lions uh, or a Pistons fan, was giving the players the finger, like up to the plexiglass in between them and the fans.
Uh-huh.
And then the players just...
They went nuts?
They just, well, I mean, not really, but they pointed it out to security. Oh, okay, like gotcha. Come on, can you get this guy removed? This is outrageous. The guy's flipping us the bird on our way into the locker room. Maybe Detroit fans are just an unruly, wild bunch.
The Pistons players couldn't get to the fan?
No, because there was like plexiglass divider or, you know, a clear divider.
I wonder if he would have done that if there was no divider.
No chance.
Right.
Exactly. Impossible he would have done that.
Correct.
Those Detroit fans might be a little out of sorts over there.
Yeah, well, that one was. And Matt LaFleur got in his face.
When there was the whole Ron Artest thing, was that in Detroit? Was that
Malice
in Indiana?
At the Palace, yes.
Yeah.
In Detroit.
I mean, might be something to do with their cakes.
Now, Artest played for Indiana, but it did happen to their fans. It did happen in Detroit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Back to the Lions.
The thread here.
Watching their last two games, the Bears on Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And then this game against the Packers, do you feel they're vulnerable? Do you feel they're the best team, or do you believe the Eagles are the best team right now?
When you have 13 players on defense on IR, you're vulnerable, especially with Hutchinson sidelined. I mean, he's one of the best pass rushers in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, they're vulnerable.
So Darius Smith had a sack last night.
Yeah.
But, the defense isn't the same. Bears, I think, probably almost should have won the game. I know at the end they ended up not even kicking a field goal. Like, at a minimum, they should have pushed it to overtime, but they were driving. They're in position to win the game.
That's why that number one overall seed is so huge, because you get that bye week.
Oh, yeah.
You get that break.
It's big.
And you're going to get that 2-week break, and you're going to need to rest up those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at their schedule, I mean, they got the Bills next week. Now, you got kind of a mini bye because they played last night, but Bills next Sunday, then they got to go to Chicago, then they got to go to San Francisco, but San Francisco's kind of dead. Then they got Minnesota. So they got some tough outs.
Tougher outs than Philly.
Tougher outs than Philly does, yeah. But that number one seed is huge.
I saw something about, the Chiefs are also a one-loss team right now at 11-1, but people are questioning the Chiefs because when you look at point differential, I mean, I think the Commanders have a better point differential than the Kansas City Chiefs right now.
Mm-hmm.
Commanders are 8-5. Chiefs are
a one-loss
team. I mean, that's what happens when you throttle a few teams like the Commanders have done, and the Chiefs are in just knockdown, drag-out fights almost every week.
Chiefs are plus 54. In their division, the Chargers and Broncos have better point differentials.
Yeah.
In their division. But it compared them to the Steelers team of a few years ago. Remember when the Steelers started off 11-1? Didn't Washington beat them?
Yes.
People weren't buying into them. And ultimately, when it got to the playoffs, they didn't go on a run to win a Super Bowl. And it's interesting if the Chiefs are going to be that type of team where, they're winning all these close games in the regular season, but maybe they're not as good as the others.
Yeah, well, offensively, they suffered two huge injuries to start the year. Now they got one of those guys back now.
Mm-hmm.
But defensively, they're really good. Offensively, they're struggling to score points. But I would never count out Mahomes in the playoffs, especially if he's got home field advantage.
Chiefs are plus 54 points-wise on the season. The Lions, who are now 12-1, are plus 183.
Mm-hmm.
I really need Mahomes to stub his toe to validate my Jaden is better than him in the 9-game snapshot to start the season. I need that to happen. I need some of that in my life.
Well, I know Valdez is one of his pet peeves is people hyping up Jaden's winning the Rookie of the Week thing.
Yeah.
And I actually hadn't paid attention that much. I didn't realize he had won it 8 times. It's a lot.
Yep.
Well, it's a sham because it's voted for by the fans.
Right.
So you can stuff the ballot box.
He's almost got a 12-pack of Pepsi Rookie of the Week
Do we really think, though, that the Washington fans are stuffing the ballot box?
Maybe yes, there is some online. PFT commenter says every day on Pardon My Take, he's voted 5 times.
Is Jeff Walker voting as we speak?
Maybe. I don't know.
I know you like to rub that in his face when he walks in.
I guess you would say, assuming all things being equal, that the other sides are cheating, too.
I don't know.
I think he is probably most deserving right now, him and Bo Nix. But I've seen a couple of these analysts from PFF and elsewhere saying that they think Brock Bowers should be elevated into the Rookie of the Year conversation.
Brock's having a historical year.
He's having a ridiculous year.
I don't have a problem. He's playing great.
I mean, yeah. he's gonna be like a top 10 pick in every fantasy draft in 2025.
Problem is, they're 2-10.
Yeah, you can't really take him seriously to win the award, but he'll be considered.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's not an MVP award.
Right.
It's Offensive Rookie of the Year. This should have nothing to do with the win-loss record.
I mean, he's going to have over 100 catches. He's going to have – how many touchdowns does he get? Five or six?
He only has four right now.
They're saying he might have over 115 catches.
Yeah, he's got 84 catches already.
He's got 84, yes.
With five games to go.
Which I think would be a receiving record.
Yeah, he's just having a dumb year.
But tight end. He does have bad news. He's joining Team Bald.
Right? Yes,
he's heading straight to Team Bald.
I think he'll be all right.
Yeah. Oh, he's great.
Go to Turkey.
He's got a great life.
Send him to Turkey now before it's too late.
Speaking of Team Bald, we're gonna have Bruce Boudreau on the show today.
Yep. Proud
pretty
member.
Bald guy.
Proud member.
He'll join us at 9:25. We'll talk a little puck with him. Kevin McCarthy on the movies. He'll join us at 9:00, and John Feinstein at 8:00. That's all right here on the Junkies. Be right back.